This podcast is brought to you by BetRivers. Download the BetRivers app from the App Store or Google Play Store. Must be 21. Available in Ohio only. Void where prohibited. Terms and conditions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports gaming is provided in partnership with Dayton Real Estate Ventures, LLC, DBA, Hollywood Gaming at Dayton Raceway.
You're listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the BetRivers Network.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on into the MLS Betting Weekly podcast brought to you by BetRivers Sportsbook and Casino. Head on over to BetRivers.com, sign up, and get yourself an account today. Use the promo code 250MATCH, and they will match your first deposit up to $250. I'm Thomas Viola. He's the man in Bogota, though not in Bogota right now, but still the Pablo Escobar of parlays, Taylor Wilson. Taylor, we got absolutely raided by the MLS slate yesterday. It was a brutal incident of midweek madness. It is so bad. Both of us, our hair is terrible right now. We had to sit here and just be like, you know what? It is a hat day.
Yeah.
We got 86th from that slate last night. It was so bad. I went 2-8 for a grand total of minus 3.4 units. Thank God for the Quakes. You didn't do too much better, did you?
No, basically the same. 3-9, which I hesitate to even put that record out there. We like to say the records don't matter. When it's that ugly, it does matter. Each one of those is a unit down the pipe. So let's just clarify that. But, you know, the timing works out very nicely for a plus 425 hit at the end of the week. And, you know, minus three units, not ideal. But the big difference here is it goes from being a week that's bad enough to almost cancel out, you know, the last month and a half of success to, hey, this is just a bad midweek that we can kind of forget about now. It's not a disaster. It's bad, but we can just put it in the rearview mirror. And that's all thanks to your boys, Tom.
Exactly. That was, oh my God. I am still celebrating that massive win, 3-2. They almost lost it at the end, but we will take it any way we can get it. The Quakes get the job done. And it turns out betting with our hearts instead of our heads works out for once. A brutal one. I actually would have finished nearly positive if Columbus had just held on for another 2 minutes in their game. It was a week of bad beats. There was a lot of pain going on there. It is what it is, though. And we shake it off. We get into the weekend slate. And let's start off here. We've got the Union versus the Revolution. And this one is going to be interesting here. Two OGs, the league. Philadelphia minus 109 is the home favorite. New England plus 290 as the road dog, and the draw plus 250 here. You know, Philly is finally off that draw patch, Taylor, and they're back to winning with back-to-back Ws, including that seven spot they uncorked on DC 2 weeks ago. The Revs, they're becoming that draw team. Three in their last five, a 4-2 loss to NYCFC last weekend. Philly might be tired from their midweek trip to the Miami Heat, but at minus 109, I still feel the home favorites to play here. An interesting wrinkle, though. New England is fifth in the league in XG, and the Union are seventh worst at XGA. It bothers me that these two stats have not borne fruit this season, but when you factor in XG, the expected goal differential per 90 starts to make sense as Philly trails just NYCFC in the Eastern Conference. I'm taking Philly here. I think that they're back to being that team we thought they were.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of that has to do with Philly's pressing system also throws some of this kind of XG data out the window because they're just not doing a lot of the same creation stuff that you would expect in the boxes or kind of the same defensive sets at the other end. So I usually try to look away from that for Philly. By the way, Tom, don't look now. You know who's the top of the Eastern Conference right now?
Who is it?
It's the Philadelphia Union. This was a team that we were talking about as sliding here in recent weeks. I mean, a lot of this has to do with a compressed East, right? Like there's a lot of teams within just a game or two worth of points at the top. So these things will shift, especially when you have three games in 9-10 days. This is one of those where it's like table check alert. You're going to see some surprises. Philly's right back there, and they're going to have a chance to potentially stay in that hunt, I think, in the one seed. The two New York teams, I mean, there's a lot of teams in that mix. But I think your read is probably right here. You mentioned, though, the draw stuff that's been happening with New England lately. I also don't know. I think Philly is somewhat fixed right now. Three in a row in this league, especially, you know, in a compressed kind of fixture list here, as I mentioned, 3-9 or 10 days is really, really tough. Even the very good teams struggle to pull that off. You saw, you know, we'll talk about the Sounders in a little bit. We saw their struggles. earlier, you know, earlier this midweek. I'm going to go with a draw play here. It's a play that I've hit several times for Philly this year. You can find a lot of value on it. And they've faded a little bit away from that draw team here over the last month, whereas New England is geared into it. And we've already seen the draw form from Philadelphia Union. So you get a plus 255 price on it. That's good enough for me to try. It's a little bit similar to kind of trying a road dog. Obviously, there's a lot of listeners and viewers who are not going to want to bet the draw. We've talked about the kind of the psychology of that before. I don't care. I'm hitting it here to start off the show, Tom. Plus about 250, 255 right now, time of recording.
Hey, I don't hate the idea at all. Hopefully that Philly can make it three in a row, but you are right. That is very tough to do. We will have to see. But we move on now to the Chicago Fire versus the Seattle Sounders here, our next game up. And you talked about three in a row being tough. Well, Seattle's trying to stay off three straight losses here, which is very surprising for this team. They sit at plus 230 here in this one. The Fire at plus 106 as the home favorites, and the draw at plus 260. And I'm going right back to the well. Road dogs that we know are good against teams we know are bad. Plus 230 on this Sounders team. I don't care about the last two losses. I'm chalking one up to midweek madness and one up to a big rivalry game that kind of stuff just happens. I don't think that this team drops three straight. I still think that they are a successful club overall. Rui Diaz will hopefully be back soon. If he's not for this game, it doesn't bother me that much. I'll stick with Seattle here.
Yeah, I mean, some somewhat concerning injury stuff with the Sounders, but you're getting two opportunities in the same week, Tom, at a better than plus 200 price tag. You know, it just, I think you'd be a fool to not try it both times and hope that one hits. You and I tried the first one, didn't hit. You got to go the second one. You got to have a little bit more of a macro strategy here when you're getting these kinds of prices with the Sounders. Rui Diaz is not going to play him. He's still hurt, but there are still guys out there that can do big time creation and goal scoring stuff, especially at a Chicago Fire team that's been kind of one of the worst sides at defending their home turf this season. They're coming off of a result that was extremely frustrating for me. I had Toronto plus one, and naturally one of the only times that a plus one against Chicago the entire season wouldn't hit, doesn't hit, as they beat them 2-0. So I am in full, just pure anger at the Chicago Fire mode at time of recording. But I love the price here, Tom. We're in full agreement. I don't think the Sounders at this point in the kind of post-Champions League window of their season are a big kind of lose three in a row contender. And, you know, plus 235, that's a really good price. You take them both in the same week for the Sounders. Hopefully this one hits for us.
The next game up, Inter-Miami versus Charlotte here. Inter-Miami plus 106, Charlotte plus 230 as the road dog, and plus 260 on the draw. And as much as I love a good road dog here, and Charlotte did beat Houston Dynamo to get their first road win, I can't do it here. I like this Inter-Miami team. I think they were hard done in both of their last two losses. An own goal kept them from a draw versus Dallas. And then, yeah, you lose to Philly at home. It's Philly. They're at the top of the conference. I wish that that game had stayed under because I had the under in Miami. So, of course, it's Philly and over. But here I'm taking that Miami plus 106. I'll take my chances. I think that they've turned a corner.
Yeah, I mean, it's just one win in the last five, but some tough spots in those games. I mean, they've had some tough opponents, tough road days. Even if you want to say the loss away at Atlanta wasn't a good result, that can happen in that atmosphere there in Atlanta occasionally. So I agree with you. I think Miami, you're still getting some pretty solid prices on the board. Keep in mind, this is a fade away Charlotte spot as well, which has been very profitable for us this year. Charlotte tied for the fourth worst away points a game in this league. Of course, they've come out of that little bit, had that win at Houston, etc., but still one of the teams that I think you should feel pretty comfortable fading when they're away, especially against a team that I think in a vacuum is either right there with Charlotte or actually better in terms of Inter Miami.
Yep.
I'm not going to get too spooked by the, you know, the one win in the last five for Miami, and I think the price is solid here. I got it at plus 110, so I like it a lot there.
There we go. The next game up is DC versus Minnesota. Minnesota minus 143 in this spot. You know, DC at plus 335, you can't take. The draw at plus 310. Also, you have to go with Minnesota in this game. Wayne Rooney doesn't have his work visa yet. He hasn't taken over as the coach. Minnesota cooled off with a 1-1 midweek draw versus SKC, but their previous three games, all wins. DC has that big 5-3 road win over Orlando on the fourth under their belt, but they're still DC. Minnesota might be finding a way to be less inconsistent than they used to be. And at minus 143, the price may be a little steep, but if I have to pick something in this game, that's what I'm going to pick.
I mean, I guess this could be a common theme on almost all of these plays coming off of a bad midweek, but another real heartbreaking L for me on the beat with Minnesota United money line midweek. They got some own goal help from Sporting. They out XG'd Sporting, and ultimately that game finishes 1-1. Before that, more success for Minnesota. They figured out the goal scoring stuff with Emmanuel Reynoso. I do think your read is correct here, Tom. You have to look at the Minnesota side of things. I didn't love the numbers here. I mean, I took Minnesota here at minus 139 as a straight money line play. My first inclination was kind of what I was looking at for FC Dallas games earlier this year, was maybe a team goals bet at over 1.5 goals. Unfortunately, the books were kind of all over that at minus 159. They're just as aware as we are, Tom, at you know, how bad DC United's defense is right now. I still don't mind that play. It might be a little bit risky if you're someone who's kind of, you know, just woken up from a coma and seen Minnesota United earlier this season and thinking an over 1.5 team goals bet on Minnesota United. I don't think so. I actually like that spot here a lot, especially when you consider just how often DC has been leaking goals over the last 5-6 games. So if you like laying juice in a place like that, I don't mind it, but I'm going to go a little bit less juice on just the straight up money line. I think DC's defense is bad enough. Doesn't really matter where they play, home or away, when you look at the numbers for DC United. But minus somewhere in the 130s, I think you're okay trying Minnesota here. It's far from one of my favorite plays of the week, though, because the price is just not great.
Yeah, this is definitely not a spot that we love, but it is just, if we have to play something in that game, that's the way I'm going. Agreement here, most likely staying away from that game. But this next game that we have up, Taylor, is not one I'm going to be staying away from, because let me tell you, FC Dallas versus Austin FC in another Texas derby. Austin plus 290 on the road. You know we have to take that. Dallas minus 120 at home in the draw, plus 280 here. They just keep giving us these prices, and I'm going to keep taking them. Yes, Austin eventually has to see this four-game win streak end. They drew Dallas 2-2 the last time these two teams played, but both teams played in the midweek while Austin got to play on Tuesday, giving them an extra day of rest, and they managed to rotate the squad pretty well. Driussi played left in less than half the game, still got a goal. Austin sits atop the league and is the best road team in it. Dallas hasn't seen a win since May 28th. They've been sliding precipitously. Some streaks may end Saturday because it's MLS, but I'm still taking my chances. I have to keep betting the Austin plus prices when they give them to me like this.
Yeah, I mean, another big sort of rivalry week. We've had a couple of these here recently. It seems like we have Texas derbies at every yeah, slate at this point. I dare say that was one of the more impressive ones yet for Austin. And I realize that's a team that's gone on the road and beaten, you know, LAFC and really good teams. There was something about, we know what MLS midweeks are. We can put our own records, your record, my record, the unit stuff, everything that happened to us this midweek is an example of what happens in this league. It was really impressive for Austin to just kind of be like, you know what? No, we're not victims to that. We're going to keep on churning. It was a minus price. We were both on it. And they beat an inferior opponent in Houston Dynamo. And even a Dynamo team that's now brought in Hector Herrera and has some more positives going for them. Austin said, no problem. We'll take care of business. The creation stuff they were doing, it really does remind you of like some of these great attacking MLS sides that we've seen before. Dare I say, even Atlanta United a few years ago, the cohesion they have, the chemistry, you know, four or five different guys can do it any night. So it allows a little bit of rotation, as you mentioned. I think they'll be back ready for this game. It's a solid spot for them. And the price continues to be nonsensical. 3-1 essentially on one of the best teams in the league. I don't care where it's being played. I don't care that it's a derby. You take it, and you take it some more. And you and I are both on it here. I do have two plays in this game. I'm not pairing them together. They're separate. The other one is just a simple over 2.5 minus 152. It's a lot of juice, but it feels like just about a lock here in this spot. I said a similar thing in the Dallas NYCFC midweek, but this one I feel very confident about. You see all the Dallas home scoring stuff. Look at the numbers for these teams this year too. Dallas 9 of 13, their last 13 at over 2.5. Austin 10 of their last 13 at over 2.5. So that's good enough data for me, Tom, to lay a minus 150 price. I got two plays in this one.
Complete agreement with you, my friend. Love the over in that as well. I'll probably be adding that to my full tally here. But right now, it was a Texas Derby. Well, we've got the battle for the Hudson coming up. New York Red Bulls versus NYCFC. And New York City FC is going to be plus 205 as the road team in this spot. The Red Bulls plus 116 and the draw plus 270. And at first glance, I said, hey, maybe the Red Bulls come into this game as rightful favorites. They're unbeaten at home in five with three straight home wins. A draw on the road versus a plucky Cincinnati team isn't a bad result in their last game, but then you start looking at these results specifically. You look at their opponents and their streak starts to lose some luster. Sporting Kansas City, Atlanta, Toronto, and DC are their last four wins, while LAFC and Charlotte are their losses. They beat bad teams and they've lost to a very good and an average one. Their entire resume looks to me like a paper tiger. While New York City, they haven't been great on the road. They've got a 500 road record and plus one goal differential, but they have two straight wins and seem to be over that rough patch that saw them still net three draws and a loss to Philly on a heartbreaker. Like they were one bad deflection away from four draws being their worst skid of the season. Yeah. I'll side with New York and say they're back to their winning ways, at least until Tati Castellanos is out in this window. I'm going to still keep picking this team. And at plus 205, I think that's a good price on what's really not a road game.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Tyus Magno, has also become one of the best creators in the league as well. We had kind of the same approach here, Tom. I was sort of thinking Red Bulls first and ended up going NYC. Keep in mind, the same game did happen in the U.S. Open Cup about a month ago. Red Bulls smacked NYC 3-0. A lot of the starters played in that game. So just putting that out there. Other than that, though, NYCFC, despite this, you know, we've talked a lot. This is the doldrums of their season, you know, interim manager, whatever the opposite of a bump is. Only one loss in their last 14 in MLS, Tom. I mean, you know, there's a ton of draws in that stretch, but this is a team that really still is very, very hard to put away in these games. And so, yes, I think this is a very attractive kind of 2-1 price tag on them on the money line. I can already tell that I'm going to regret going more conservative here. I'm just going to go on the spread plus a half goal. NYCFC, you're laying some juice at minus 141. It's more juice than I'd like to lay here. But I do think NYCFC, for now, with some of those stars that you outlined, Tom, is still a better team than the Red Bulls. And, you know, I think in that Eastern Conference, it's still probably a team that could compete for the one seed in the East. This is a big game. It's a six-pointer. It's obviously a rivalry game. I think I want to give myself a little bit of that flexibility for, you know, if the draw hits, I'm good. That's why I'm laying the juice and taking the plus a half goal. But if NYCFC wins, of course, I regret not taking the money line.
Well, we will have to see. The next game up, though, Columbus Crew versus FC Cincinnati. The draw at plus 275. Cincy, the plus 310 road dog, and the Crew minus 122 at home. This is a tough one for me. Like, I like the Crew a lot right now, especially with Cucho Hernandez. This team I genuinely think is going to be good and make some noise come the playoff time. But since he's been plucky this year, and at plus 310, that price looks awful juicy. But then I go back the other way, and the Crew casually have an unbeaten seven-game unbeaten streak going. Only three wins in there, but they could have beaten DC last night. And again, Hernandez is having an instant impact on this squad. Since he's also unbeaten in six matches, though, this is so back and forth, but they've got just one win and five draws. So I'm going to try and read these tea leaves and say that this one is a stay away for me, though I think there could be a draw at play here. Instead, I'm going to take over 2.5 at minus 139, and I'm going to take both teams to score at minus 148. That way I'm a little covered if there's a 1-1 draw here and the over doesn't hit. I at least get my money back. I think both teams get a goal in this game, and I really do see it going over. I just don't know if anyone's going to be able to find a winner.
Yeah, and in the words of Hawthorne Heights, Ohio is for lovers. Not for me this midweek, Tom, as both the Crew and Cincinnati with just heartbreaking money line beats, both of those games ending in draws. And I am very, very angry at both of these teams here coming into the show. But I think your read is spot on. I might look at both teams to score market as well. I also thought about Cincinnati at plus 310. This is another spot not dissimilar to my thinking on NYCFC, where I'm kind of trying to give myself a lot of draw protection without taking a specific, you know, 2.5-1 draw three-way play. I'm just going to go Cincinnati plus a half goal. You can get it at plus 102. It's four straight draws, five of the last six for Cincy. They've kind of become that team, you know, recently that just they're in basically every game they play in, Tom, and they just can't put them away. So I don't want that to go against me here. I totally agree with the Columbus stuff. I mean, you and I have both been looking at, you know, anytime Cucho's on the field now, like their attack seems fixed. Caleb Porter is really figuring some things out in terms of giving them an identity right now. Whereas, and the same, you know, Cincinnati is a very specific identity as well. It's just, you know, can they translate that into results? I think a plus half goal spot here in a rivalry game gives me a lot of flexibility. So Cincy plus a half, Tom.
All right. I don't hate that at all. Like I said, I think this probably ends as a draw. Cincy plus the half makes a lot of sense to me. The next game up, though, Nashville, they're going to be playing host to LAFC. Nashville plus 130, LA plus 188, and the draw plus 255. And Taylor, once more, road dogs against teams that maybe Nashville isn't bad. They got a great win last night, but LA's coming to town. I don't see lightning striking twice here. Yes, you beat Seattle. I don't think you do it two in a row. And almost 2-1 price on LAFC isn't going to last long. Still no word on when Gareth Bale is going to start playing, but he's practicing with the team and maybe he makes an appearance here. Overall, I'm not impressed with Nashville. A win here will make me start to take notice, but for now, I'm sticking with that value in LA.
Yeah, it feels like maybe a Bale on the bench, you know, does he come on as a sub? Doesn't he kind of spot, you know, maybe a week away from getting his first start? We'll see. Maybe he starts the game. I think it's certainly something to look out for with the lineups. Regardless, though, even in a vacuum, not knowing anything about who's starting, this is a fantastic LA price. You won't get this very often this season. They're completely better than Nashville. It's not like Nashville are complete world beaters at home either. Big results in the midweek. It's just their fifth clean sheet of the season. I still think there are real defensive issues. And, you know, you put up the best attack, if not them, Austin, one of the two best attacks in the league, and LAFC coming to town. I think their defense, Bale or no Bale, is going to struggle to hold up. So this is one of my no-brainers of the week, Tom, at plus 195. I don't mind both teams to score either. I could see, you know, an LA 2-1 win, something like that. That's at minus 157 right now. It's a little bit too much juice for me. So just, I'm not overthinking this one. LA at basically 2-1.
There we go. The Timbers versus the Whitecaps. Last game we're going to get to here on video. And Portland, they are minus 148 at home. The Whitecaps plus 380 on the road and the draw plus 280. And Taylor, I have absolutely no desire to take any part of Vancouver on the road. They have been absolutely terrible. Portland's finally turned that corner we were waiting for. Three wins, two draws in their last five, and they capped it with their most impressive win of the season, 3-0 versus Seattle last week. The Whitecaps, they're minus 13 in goal differential on the road with just two wins and a draw to show for it this season. Portland minus 148 is the play, but we can make it Portland and over here, and it becomes plus 145, so we're going to do that. I'm going to say both Portland and the over in a little two-teamer here. Plus 145, I'll take that.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I would be a little bit worried about Vancouver maybe not giving any help on that. You might not need it, but we'll see. I think your reads are basically where I'm at on this game as well. I'm just simply taking Portland at minus 139. I mean, keep in mind, everyone thinks about Portland, Seattle. This is a Cascadia Cup game as well. And, you know, it's been an interesting series, but Portland overall has pretty much dominated at 16 wins, 7 draws, 9 losses. The road team here has also won 3 in a row. So something to think about just a little bit, something to doubt ourselves a little bit, just as we hit a 3-1 Portland ticket. I'm just saying, Tom, in that Seattle game a few weeks ago, I had to put it out there. Don't worry. It's not talking myself out of it. I'm just, you know, making ourselves rattled while we take the other side. But yeah, I like Portland in this spot. They're finally figuring some things out. Vancouver, not particularly good in a vacuum, certainly not good on the road. So I don't like Timbers juice necessarily, Tom, but let's get it here. I can understand you trying to find some value with that SGP.
Yeah, I'm trying to make something out of nothing with that. And the other thing is you can't handicap based on results from previous seasons like that. It just
Portland, it Seattle doesn't... would beg to differ. Cali Classico would beg to differ, Tom.
Still, some of those
get. I tend to agree, but you know.
Yeah, some of those trends you just have to fade out. But Taylor, that's going to do it for us here on video. If our audio viewers are sticking with us here, video listeners, you guys should as well hop on over to the podcast version of the show to hear the rest of the slate breakdown. But meanwhile, before we get to that, before we say goodbye to you guys, Taylor, let's give out our parlay of the week, our lottery ticket play. This is something that we're hoping to cash a couple of these this season. I'm going Austin Moneyline, LAFC Moneyline, and Portland over 2.5. And it comes out to a very, very patriotic plus 1776, Taylor.
Wow. All right. Well, that has to hit, Tom. Well done. Yeah. Well done on that number. You say these numbers just come out, but I feel like you're doing the exact math sometimes to figure these ones out. All right. Well, we have one in common here with LAFC. I have them at the money line at plus 195 as one of the three. The other two, you're going to have to listen to the podcast for deeper dives on. But one is Atlanta-Orlando at over 2.5. The other is Montreal-Toronto at over 2.5. All three of those come out to plus 618, Tom.
All right, there we go. A nice 6-1 there. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us here today. Once again, you can follow me on Twitter at TV at Work. You can follow Taylor at ATLT Will. And don't forget to follow the BRN Podcast Network at BRN Podcast _, because you have fantastic, fantastic talent talking about some of the other great leagues that you can be making money on. They've got Nigel Seeley on European soccer. They've got cricket. They've got tennis. They've got golf breakdowns. They've got everything you could possibly want to be betting on. So go ahead, check them out as well. And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to sign up for a BetRivers account at BetRivers.com. Use the promo code 250MATCH and they will match your first deposit up to $250. Once again, check out the audio version of the show on the podcast platform of your choice. We'll have our full breakdown there. But until then, good luck this weekend. Let's cash some tickets. And all right, Taylor, let's stick on with it here on the audio version now, which means I can take off the hat because we are no longer on camera and it feels good. But Montreal versus Toronto is going to be our first game up here. Montreal's been on a bit of a slide so far, but we've got minus 155 on them here as home favorites. Toronto 4-1 road dogs and the draw plus 290. I'm going Montreal 150 here. They should get back to their winning ways in this spot. They've been on a drastic skid in their last two, 4-0 to the Galaxy and then a 2-1 defeat to SKC at home, which is very troubling. Insigne is still a week away from playing, so Toronto should still be lacking some of that firepower, but Montreal really needs to stop this skid. And I'm worried. It's a lean. I don't love this play at all because I don't know what Montreal is doing right now. And I don't know that I can really trust them to stay with it.
Yeah. I mean, look, two of my favorite marquee over teams so far this season. I've mentioned a lot about Toronto on, you know, the over 2.5, over 3 stuff. They're 13-7 on over 2.5s this year. Montreal, even better, 15-4, Tom, on over 2.5 plays so far this season. Of course, you know, you're going to have to find a little bit of value. What do? I do a classic over 2.75, you know, try to hit one unit if it hits at 3 exactly, you're pushing the other one. But I honestly think this game could go even higher than that. Regardless, that play is at minus 139. I have two different plays here, though, Tom. The other one being Toronto at plus 410. Huge road dog. Montreal is certainly a better team. I'm going to throw out head-to-head over the years data again for you, Tom, because it's your favorite stat. Very even. 14-5 and 17 Montreal over the years. This game has a lot of chaos to it. And when that happens, you know, you take the price. So in this case, I'm doing two separate plays. I'm not pairing them together. You know, I'm basically fine if the Toronto play doesn't hit. I'm more invested in the over 2.75. But hey, Toronto at 4-1. You got to try some of these road dogs. That's where I'm at there, Tom.
I get it. I'm going the other way with Montreal, but it's, again, not a play that I really love. It's much more of a lean here in this spot. I could certainly see you being right. You got to take some of those shots. Atlanta versus Orlando is our next game up in another rivalry spot here, and it is going to be Atlanta as minus 130 home favorites. Orlando plus 320 on the road and the draw plus 290. Taylor, you talk about trying to take some road spots. Orlando's been quietly the league's seventh best road team. This game is much more evenly matched than you'd think. Orlando trails slightly in expected goal differential per 90. They're 25th overall in XG, but Atlanta, they got a much needed home win over RSL. The over 2.75 remains a reliable play with this team. I love your quarter ball plays, and I'm finally jumping in with you. Atlanta's still dealing with a lot from injuries to locker room unrest, so I'm going to take your strategy from the last game. I'm going to take a shot on Orlando plus 320, and I'm also going with that quarter ball at 2.75.
Yeah, I mean, look, who needs Cristiano Ronaldo when you have Ronaldo Cisneros, Tom, getting a big brace here in midweek? Is Atlanta United with a desperate,
desperate result as Pineda was basically facing the exit door, Bocanegra facing the exit door. For now, Atlanta United gets a little bit to staunch the bleeding. I continue to not really want anything on sides on Atlanta games unless you're just completely fading them, which at this point for Orlando, a very Jekyll and Hyde Orlando team, I don't really feel the need ever to take an Orlando side. So we're in full agreement, Tom. This is just a pure overplay. Of course, over 2.5 is too heavily juiced. What do? You try the quarter ball zone at over 2.75 at a minus 130 price. It's now over 2.5 for Atlanta United, Tom, in 11 of their last 12. It really, when you look at the teams they've done this against, they've done this against under teams like Chicago Fire. They've done this against over teams like Montreal. Under team, you could say RSL on the road is a big under team. They got the over comfortably in the first half here in midweek, Tom, coming off of that game. It really doesn't matter who Atlanta plays, when they play them, what the data says on the other side. This over trend has been extremely reliable right now. You have to keep profiting on it. Over 2.75 here, Tom. I love it.
There we go. We are in agreement. Couple games left here, and the Quakes are next up for us in the battle of old Quakes versus new Quakes. They're playing the Houston Dynamo. The Quakes are plus 102 at home. The draw plus 275 and the Dynamo plus 230 here. You know, the Quakes total market remains crazy. Over 2.5 minus 186 and over 3 here should be in play once again. The Quakes are coming off that big emotional win in the Clasico and their defense is still god awful. They could have a letdown, but they've been incredibly stout at home, unbeaten at PayPal since the opener against New York Red Bulls back in February. Houston's turned a corner since beating LA 3-0 back in May 23rd. Unfortunately, it's been straight on to Skid Row. They've got one win, one draw in their last seven. That is bad, bad. The Quakes have one of the best strikers in the game in Jeremy Obobese, who continues to chase in a big way for the Golden Boot. I'll take the Quakes at even money here, Taylor. And the over 3 should be in play.
Right on. I mean, maybe you could talk me into a Quakes play. I love everything you're reading into this game. I love your Quake corner aspect of this. I'm going over 2.75 again, laying minus 141 in this spot. San Jose 13-6 on over 2.5 this year. Houston, they're just dreadful on the road. You mentioned how San Jose can be pretty good defending that home turf. Houston, the exact opposite as a road team, tied for the third worst points per game in the Western Conference. They're not awful at scoring away goals. They just leak a decent amount. That's a pretty darn good recipe when you're playing San Jose for an over spot. So I can understand going more aggressive with it at a true three, getting a better number and giving yourself, you know, many of those same push protections I get there. But I'm going to go over 2.75 as my kind of trademark move here at minus 141.
Don't hate that at all. Minus 141 is a okay amount of juice to be laying in this spot. I do think that the 2.5s are going to be going away. So if you want that lower number at the higher juice, take it now, because that will be 3 or 3.5, most likely just 3 by the time we come around to kickoff. Last game here, RSL versus Sporting Kansas City. RSL minus 127, SKC plus 340, and the draw plus 255. RSL on a slide right now, 2 draws, 2 losses in their last 4. Sporting Kansas City has beaten Montreal and drew Minnesota in their last 2. I still don't think they're terribly good. They aren't about to revive the season here, but RSL's slide down the standings is concerning. They've still gotten the job done at home, and SKC's been up and down on the road. I lean RSL minus 127, but again, this isn't really a great spot for me here either.
Yeah, I'm going RSL. I had them locked at minus 122. It's fading the wrong way. This is pretty similar to how I approached the Minnesota play earlier. I have a little bit more confidence here just because of the home data for Real Salt Lake. Only RSL and Philly, they're the only home teams this year not to lose yet when they're playing at home.
Interesting.
I don't think this is going to be where it happens, although Sporting has really gone against the grain in a few spots here over the last month. They have been extremely plucky. They fought through some injuries and gotten some impressive results. The overall kind of macro road data is pretty bad for them. And I think we pair that up against pretty darn good macro home data for RSL. I feel confident enough for the second best home points per game team in the league in Real Salt Lake to try them on something in the minus 120s. But yeah, far from one of my favorite plays of the week, Tom. This would be one where even on the other side at plus 120, I wouldn't feel that confident with. So I don't love laying juice here for an RSL team that I think in a vacuum is kind of just okay. But we'll see what happens. I do think, you know, more of a fade Sporting on the road still makes sense in this spot.
And one last game here, almost forgot about it, but managed to get it in. Colorado Rapids versus the LA Galaxy. The Rapids plus 106 at home. The Galaxy plus 235 is the road dog, and the draw plus 260 here. LA coming off a fresh defeat to the Quakes on Wednesday, looking for revenge. But do they find it against a Rapids side that's been seventh in the league at home? Possibly, because Colorado's been in bad form as of late. Three draws, three losses in their last six. No win since May 23rd against Seattle. But LA has also been terrible. One win, four losses in their last five. But they've gone over the total in each of their last four, five of their last six. That being said, I kind of saved the worst for last year. I have no play in this game, Taylor.
I love that. Just the buildup to the no play, Tom. I thought about a similar move here. There's going to be a Galaxy bounce back from this real lull in their season. I do think they have issues, you know, trying to figure out, do you play with two strikers? Do you play with one? They have real defensive problems as well. At this point, I think you have to point that out. It's not just a blip. This team has real defensive issues. However, I'm not sure Colorado at this point is necessarily kind of the home fortress that we thought it was earlier this year. They've now dropped points in four of their nine home games, so it's still a good record. But when you're thinking about a plus 240 and a Galaxy team that's probably better than Colorado just in a vacuum, you know, I think that's enough slips for me at this point, Tom, to try fading Colorado at home if it's a team that I think is better than them and if the price is there. And in this case, both of those things are true. You're getting plus 240 on the Galaxy. I like the bounce back a lot more for them next week at home to Atlanta, do I, for the Galaxy? But you know, I'm really not sure Colorado is that good at this point. I like the price here. Let's try it. Galaxy plus 240.
All right. I don't blame you going for that. I don't feel comfortable enough to put a stake in that game, but there are worse things to try. I do not blame you at all. All right, Taylor. Well, that is going to do it for us here on the show. And that means it's time for us to run through our slate real quick. So, guys, if you want to grab a pen and paper, if you want to be able to write down every play, this is your chance. We're going to run through them all right here. Starting off, Montreal versus Toronto. I lean Montreal minus 150.
Two plays here, Tom. Over 2.75, Lang minus 139. And trying it, Toronto plus 410.
I wish you luck, my friend. The Union versus the Revolution. Playing it simple here. Union minus 109.
Everyone's favorite market, the draw market. Draw plus 255.
Chicago versus the Sounders. I'm going Sounders plus 230 and over 2.5 at minus 130.
Yep, I got Sounders plus 230 here, Tom. Full agreement there.
Miami versus Charlotte. Miami plus 106.
Yep, also I locked them in slightly better at plus 110 a little earlier, but we are both in full agreement on the Miami play.
DC versus Minnesota. We've got Minnesota at minus 143.
Yeah, I also have Minnesota United. Not one of my favorite plays of the week, but fading DC at this point, pretty solid. Let's go Loons.
Rapids versus Galaxy, no play for me.
Galaxy plus 240.
Dallas versus Austin, you know we got to go Austin plus 290.
Yep, two separate plays here, over 2.5 at minus 152. And then Austin on the money line, got to keep riding.
Atlanta versus Orlando. I'm going on the quarter ball at over 2.75, and I'm taking a shot on Orlando plus 320.
Yeah, I'm not doing the Orlando spot, but we are in full agreement on that over 2.75.
New York versus New York. I am going New York City plus 209.
Bold call there, Tom. I am on NYCFC at plus a half goal, minus 141.
Crew versus Cincy. I'm going over 2.5 at minus 139 and both teams to score minus 148.
All right, I got Cincy plus a half goal at plus 102.
Nashville versus LA. We're taking LAFC plus 188.
Yeah, absolutely. LA all day here. You don't get these kind of prices every week with LA. It's a very good spot.
Quakes versus the Dynamo. I'm going Quakes plus 102, and I'll take an over three at around even money.
Yep, just going more conservative on that overplay. Over 2.75, Lang minus 141.
RSL versus SKC. I lean to RSL minus 127.
Also lean and also RSL money line, Tom.
And last but not least, the Timbers versus the Whitecaps here. Portland money line and the over at plus 145 on that parlay together.
Yeah, I'm just going Portland on its own. I understand where your head's at, getting better value.
And our parlays here, Austin money line, LAFC money line, and Portland over 2.5 for plus 1776 for me.
Amazing number. I'm going LAFC as well. Atlanta, Orlando over 2.5. Montreal, Toronto, over 2.5. That comes out to plus 618.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed the show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Once again, you can follow us at TV at Work and at ATL T-Will. And don't forget to sign up for a BetRivers account at BetRivers.com today. Use the promo code promo code 250 match, and they will get up to $250 matched on your first deposit. Thank you so much to our sponsors in BetRivers for putting this show on for us. And be sure to check out the rest of the BetRivers podcast network. Ladies and gentlemen, best of luck on this weekend slate, and we will see you next week.
Thanks for listening to Betting Weekly Major League Soccer on the BetRivers Network.